This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the program, we'll be talking about Alzheimer's disease and new treatments being tested. But first, Saturn. Last Wednesday, late in the evening, the Cassini spacecraft slipped between two of Saturn's rings, fired its engine, and began orbiting the giant gas planet, the first spaceship ever to do so. In a control room about a billion miles away, scientists from NASA, the European Space Agency, and the Italian Space Agency watched as images of Saturn's rings were beamed into mission control, images that team leader Carolyn Porco called absolutely mind-blowing. Cassini will spend at least 4 years circling Saturn and studying some of its 31 moons. Cassini is carrying a probe, Huygens, that it will release on Christmas. Huygens will parachute down into the frigid, murky atmosphere of Titan, Saturn's largest moon. Joining me now to talk more about the Cassini-Huygens mission and what scientists hope to learn from it is Jeff Cuzzi, interdisciplinary scientist for rings and dust at NASA Ames Research Center in California. He joins us from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Welcome to Science Friday.
Nice to be here, Ira.
I didn't know you could specialize in rings and dust.
Well, it's just a question of big particles versus small.
And that's what the rings are made out of, right?
Well, the rings are made out of mostly water ice.
Yeah.
Oh, more than 90%. But they're not pure water ice. They are a little bit pinkish. And that's one of the big questions we want to try to address is what else is there besides the water ice? And by learning that, we'll learn more about where the rings came from.
We have a little bit of, I want to back us up a little bit before we get into talking about the rings and the other good stuff that you're going to be learning on the mission. There was some interesting sounds from space. You don't get a lot of sounds from space. But this was a sound of Cassini crossing into the planet's magnetic field called the bow shock. Let's listen to that. Jeff, what are we actually hearing?
Well, what they actually did with this is measure the intensity of various kinds of waves in the electromagnetic waves, mm-hmm. actually radio waves, if you like, and then converted the radio waves down in frequency to the audible range.
Right.
So where you might have a wave that might change from low to high radio frequencies, we hear it as a chirp.
Mm-hmm.
So these various chirps and tones are just waves that are emitted by oscillating plasmas in and around Saturn's magnetosphere, oscillations that are caused, some of them, by beating of the solar wind against Saturn's mm-hmm. magnetic field. That's what we say we cross the bow shock, which is we actually transit from the solar wind, which streams between the planets at about a million miles an hour, to Saturn itself, which is, you know, sort of a stationary object. It's a little bit like the shock around a jet aircraft as it goes through the atmosphere.
Hmm. Let's talk a bit about these magnificent pictures, these mind-blowing pictures that have come back from Cassini. What is most surprising to you? I mean, we have pictures from the Voyager pictures that came back. I remember when they came back. Are you learning new things that you didn't know before?
Oh, yeah. We've already seen several new things. We've seen some of the familiar things with brand new clarity, and it's just like seeing an old friend again in a new light, and that's very, very important because time variation is important in Saturn's rings. But we're also seeing some new effects that we did not see before, and that's got us all very excited.
Such as?
Well, for instance, in the set of images that we took right after the firing of the motors, these images, and I should say, it wasn't just images we were taking. All four of the telescopes on Cassini were taking data at the same time. So during this time period, all four of these teams, that would be the camera team, the infrared reflectance team, the infrared heat emission team, and the ultraviolet team, all four of these teams are getting the highest resolution data that they're going to get all through the whole mission, just one scan through the rings. Now, the only data that we've really had a chance to look at yet is the imaging data. And in that data, we actually saw fine structure, finer than we had ever seen before in any images, and only in certain parts of the rings. That is, we didn't see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that we only see it in certain parts of the rings, in fact, it was in the parts of the rings where there was the most amount of material, is a clue that the process that forms this fine-scale structure has to do with densely packed material, and we just don't see it in other places. So that was very exciting to see that. another thing that we saw that had never been seen before is a kind of a granularity on the order of maybe a few hundred meters in size, clumps of material, but speckles that were lined up outside and within some of these watch spring tightly wrapped spiral waves that we've known for a long time to exist in Saturn's rings. But only with a camera can you really see two-dimensional information like this. And this is the very first time that actual images have been taken that allowed us to detect this brand new effect.
You had what is being described in at least one of the ring images as some corrugation in the rings, like a wavy function in the ring. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
That third thing that you're seeing.
This is a third thing. We knew about this bending. We call it a bending wave. These waves, they're called spiral waves, and they're related very closely to the spiral arms of galaxies that we see. In fact, we've probably learned more about the physics of spiral waves from Saturn's rings than we have from galaxies, because we can look at them up close and personal. Even with Voyager, we saw these waves.
Mm-hmm.
So with Voyager, we discovered that there were both a kind of a compression rarefaction wave, like a sound wave. That's a spiral density wave, and that propagates one way. And we discovered another kind of a wave that's called a spiral bending wave, where actually the whole ring, which is only about 10 to 30 meters in local thickness, the whole ring flaps like a flag in the breeze, you know.
Is that right? So it is. So when you speak of a wave, it is like like there's a fluid in the rings, like fluid, and there's a wave that goes through them?
Yes, the rings really do behave very much like a fluid, because all the little ring particles, even though they're going around Saturn at 10 kilometers a second or so, faster than a rifle bullet, relative to their neighbors, they're only moving at less than a centimeter per second. So they bump very gently and very frequently, and it's a little bit like the molecules in a fluid. So you can use fluid dynamics to study the rings very effectively.
You know, I noticed, I remember from the last time when I was at JPL, when the Voyagers were going through, there was an artifact or something that we called spokes, or the scientists called, there were spokes in the rings. And yeah. I don't see them. Did you see them again?
No, that's a kind of a mystery. It's not an artifact. It's definitely a real effect.
Yeah.
And what they are thought to be is small dust grains that are kicked up off the surface of the normal ring particles, which are basically boulders, by sort of an electromagnetic charging effect. It may be related to impacts of meteoroids onto the rings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've known for quite a while, because we've been looking at Saturn with Hubble and whatnot for, you know, 20 years since Voyager. And we haven't seen really these spokes with Hubble either, unless the rings are, let's say, kind of closed down as seen from the Earth and the Sun. When the rings are only barely open, we tend to see these spokes. We've seen them with Hubble, so, you know,
mm-hmm.
And that's what the geometry was like when Voyager was there.
Yeah.
So right now, the rings are much more wide open. In fact, we picked this geometry on purpose to do Cassini when the rings were wide open, because there's lots of things we could do much better this way. So in this geometry, though, we have not seen any spokes, and we clearly should. We've got all the sensitivity we need. We've been looking at it for months and months and months, you know, with adequate resolution. So there's something going on by which these spokes only are visible in certain kinds of geometries, and we don't understand that.
So you really don't understand the dynamics of how the rings are formed or held together? It's really quite a mystery.
Well, there are some things that we do understand. We understand something about these fluid effects. We understand these waves. We've learned a lot about how moonlets interact with the ring material. In fact, we've learned so much that we can apply it to other forming solar systems. But there still are a lot of mysteries, and that's kind of why we wanted to go back to Saturn and spend 4 years with 12 instruments viewing the rings from a variety of different directions, because over the 4 years we changed the orbit around very dramatically. So we're always looking from a different direction, doing a different kind of experiment with a different kind of instrument.
Are the rings the main target of this mission?
From my standpoint, yeah. But
it's like asking a surgeon, you know, his operation, what you do.
Yeah, kind of. That's right. But no, we have it's one of the attractions of Saturn is that it has such a diversity of interesting and important things to study. Secondly, of course, the planet itself is a mm-hmm. gas giant like Jupiter and like all these other planets that we're finding around other stars. So it's important to understand these gas giants. Titan, of course, is a secondary object, only second. Well, it's not really even second. Some people think Titan's the most fascinating thing in the system. It's an object about the size of Mercury, so it's a planet-sized object. It's got an atmosphere, mostly nitrogen, of about the same density or even greater density than the Earth's atmosphere. It's thought to have lakes or maybe sizable bodies of liquid, maybe liquid ethane, on its surface. It's known to have clouds. It's thought to have rain. Maybe the image I love is marble-sized raindrops of liquid ethane falling with the speed of snowflakes because wow. The gravity is so low and just splashing gently into this ethane lake. So it's a fascinating place. We've got, of course, the Huygens probe, which was built by the European Space Agency, is dedicated to Titan. It's going to go down to the atmosphere, measuring all its constituents, measuring its winds, taking measurements when it lands, whether it lands on a solid or in a liquid, and taking some pictures of some sort on the way down. And then in addition to the probe, we will have 44 close encounters with Titan. That's more encounters we've ever had with an object that big or that strange. We actually use Titan to change the Cassini orbit around. So 44 orbits with Titan with the orbiter. On the orbiter, we have, first of all, a haze-penetrating radar, which is going to cover about 20% of the surface. And then we have the telescopes themselves, which are pretty confident that they're going to be able to see the surface in some of their wavelengths. They'll be able to see through the haze. So Titan's going to be fascinating. We also have several icy moons of Saturn that are fascinating, one which looks like it's had some recent surface activity, one which has one face that's black and a material we don't understand, and one face that's almost pure white. So there's a whole diversity of these things. Saturn is like a little solar system
right.
in itself.
But you're not going to get to all 31 moons. You're going to get to just a few of them.
We'll focus on some of them. We'll get pretty good data on, I think, five or six of the main moons. The 31 really includes all these little guys,
right.
some which are too far away from Saturn to really look at very well.
And you expect to find some more in the rings? Too?
Yes, we do. We're going to look very closely in and around the rings. This whole concept of moons and rings, they're very closely linked. These little, we call them ring moons. They're actually objects that are, you know, right there, intermingled.
Mm-hmm.
And there are these dozen or so empty gaps in the rings which Voyager discovered, which we suspect contain moons, but we've never seen them. So we're going to study them very closely. We're going to study this region called the F ring outside Saturn. There may be a little moonlet belt out there. So that's going to be very, very exciting.
So this is, she'll have a good 4 years of work coming up.
We're looking forward to it. This is really just the tip of the iceberg, and there's going to be an immense amount of data, nothing like we've ever seen. People think Galileo studied Jupiter. Well, remember, Galileo had the damaged antenna.
Right.
Cassini is going to bring back something like 1,000 times as much data as Galileo.
And Cassini's the last of the great golden era of space exploration probes.
Well, we hope not.
I mean, these big, beautiful guys. Big robots, right?
It is a beautiful big robot. It was very much built and designed in the old tradition. It has worked flawlessly. I think JPL has done a tremendous job. The hundreds of engineers here who have worked on this thing and made it function and navigation, everything else, it's terrific teamwork.
All right. We want to thank you for taking time to talk with us, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
And we'll have you back to talk about some more of the progress.
Anytime.
As it goes on. Thank you. Jeff Kudzi is interdisciplinary scientist for rings and dust at NASA's Ames Research Center in California. He was talking to us from the Jet Propulsion Lab there. We're going to take a short break, come back, switch gears a little bit, and talk about the latest research in Alzheimer's disease. Are stem cells in the running, really, for curing Alzheimer's disease? Lots of that in the news lately, so stay with us. We'll be right back.